I search because I want to introduce you to some things that that is on the cutting edge. And so I'm always on the hunt for revelation. And then I change sometime at the spur of the moment. I did that this afternoon. Something I want to teach you that I think would put you on there. Sit down. Let's pray. Stand up. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for revelation knowledge and an anointing and an understanding for these students that they may grow to live on the cutting edge with you. Thank you for all things. We trust the Holy Spirit to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In my little Bible, it says many signs and wonders. Many signs and wonders on top of verse 12 of the fifth chapter. And I want you to take notes. Being on an apostolic cutting edge. We need somebody to be on the cutting edge of the apostolic work, not afraid of it, and then being on that cutting edge. And some things I'm going to share with you that are going to put you on a cutting edge that the church need to be on. Acts 5:12 says, "And by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." What was wrought? Many signs and wonders. Get that word, many. "And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both of men and women." Well, when they saw those signs and wonders, that's the greatest evangelistic tool there is, when the manifestation of the supernatural. Manifestation of the supernatural. And so it says in verse 15, "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on bed and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." That's powerful, isn't it? Yes, y'all listening and y'all watching? Yes, then it says, "There came also a multitude out of the city round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk." They brought them. "Bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed, everyone." You underline that, everyone. You see, in none tongues. You said Jesus had 29 approaches, I think, in his ministry, and everyone who came to him, no matter what the condition was, they were healed. Some make ado about the fact of the man at the fifth chapter of John, the man, he healed only one at the pool. I think I talked to you about that. But we told you why it didn't go to him. There's a term here I want to start bringing out to you, to open up to you. I think it will revolutionize your life. Operating in the courts of heaven. Operating in the courts of heaven. I want to tell you the opposite of that. If one don't know how to operate in the courts of heaven, they're going to struggle on the battlefield. Okay, so write that term down, battlefield. Mostly what the church know now is how to go on the battlefield. But they should go be able to know how to operate in the courts first. You win the judgment or the verdict. Get this now. You win the judgment or the verdict in the court.
Yes, sir.
Now, Hebrews 4:16, turn down. That's a courtroom scene there. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find grace and mercy, or mercy and grace to help in time of need." You go there first before you go in battle.
Yes, sir.
Now, you should get your verdict there. You see, verdict. You get your verdict.
Yes, sir.
You got your verdict. Now you just go do what you do.
Yes, sir.
But screaming and hollering and going on the battlefield is what we've been taught. I bind you, Satan. I break your power. You don't have no power. I know you don't have no power. Yeah. And then you don't even know if you got some.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the energy of the few as you get it from the throne of grace and God tell you exactly what to do. So I'll be using some term. I just want you to follow me. I know you're going to be able to identify with this first statement. Most people believe intensely in prayer. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't believe in prayer?
Yes, sir.
You don't believe it intensely? You know prayer got a lot of power, right?
Yes, sir.
So I said most people believe intensely in prayer.
Yes, sir.
All right. Even those who do not consider themselves Christian, they believe in prayer. Boy, you get a sinner jam up, you holler, oh, Jesus. Now, especially in time of trauma, get this, and tribulation, everyone tend to start praying.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all answer me, class. All right, because I want y'all, I want participation. Nobody ever told me how many on online. Because I want the student online to try to be online when the class going on and not just jumping, being online when they get ready. Write down also the word confusion and frustration, vexations, things like that that bother you. The second point is, so many people believe in prayer, right? It says, but yet this strong belief in prayer might be you. There is still a great deal of frustration concerning how it operates. I'm going to clear that up for you. And what to do to see our prayer answered. And what to do to see our prayer. Y'all take note now. And see, can you identify with this? Because if you've been around any time, we have all found this frustration at the lack of answers to our prayer to be real and at time confusing. Everybody praying. What I want to show you, so let's do it this way. Let's ask this question. So what is the problem? Or better yet, what is the solution? All right. Much prayer, but not enough answer. Now here's the excuse we use. Sometimes God say yes. Sometimes God say no. Sometimes God say wait. But yet the scriptures say all the purposes of God are yea and amen.
Yes,
so what one you gonna believe?
Yeah.
So it has to be a solution, and that's what we want to work on, that solution. That's why I told you about operating in that court of heaven. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Why does heaven sometime remain silent when we pray from the underness of our heart? It's silent. It seems like God is not answering us. Now, I'm gonna take you on a quick trip here to show you something. You see, when you properly go to the throne of grace and stay there long enough, you jump to 1 John 5:14-15.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened to you. If you stay long enough at the throne, the throne will eventually take you to 1 John 5:14-15.
Yes, sir.
This is the confidence. You don't go by this wait later on or yes and no. You don't have to go through that. See, the thing is, anything you attacking things, going on the battlefield without going into the court. And you jump out there and you don't have 1 John 5:14-15.
Right.
Even if you went to 1 John 5:14-15.
Yeah.
Even if you courted 1 John 5:14-15, you don't have it.
Yes, sir.
You don't have the grace for it.
Yeah.
Now I've said, and I still believe that, There's no emergency in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
God is always in control. So he ain't going to let nothing just take you out.
Right.
Are you following me?
Yes.
So all right now, so the answer is found. I said I'll give you a solution. Why does heaven sometimes remain silent when we pray honestly, when we pray for the honestness of our, from the honestness of our heart? The answer is found in where the spiritual activity called prayer is actually taking place. Where's the spiritual activity called prayer is actually taking place? Now, prayer, at its very core, C-O-R-E, core, is where we insert ourselves into a spiritual conflict. It'll get clear in a minute. Prayer is not just asking or petitioning of God for something. Now, follow up tonight, you're going to get somewhere tonight that you're going to come plumb unglued. Because you're going to show you something. And I think we need to know that. That's why I read about those signs and wonders, and we're not having them like we should. Now, these two points here are going to tell you something. When we pray, we engage the Lord himself, right? Y'all got to talk to me. When we pray, we engage the Lord himself. I mean, all your answers, you're going to get some answers here. You're going to do ministry at a higher level.
Yes, sir.
Put you on the apostolic cutting edge. You know how to do this.
Yes.
See, the apostles knew how to pray.
Yes, sir.
All right? When we pray, we engage the Lord himself. But also, we are also engaging powers of darkness that want to resist us in our prayer activity.
Yes.
So there's a secret to that. There's a secret to get around that. And the reason a lot of prayers are not answered is because we're praying in the wrong place.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you the secret, one secret there, of going to the throne of grace.
Yes, sir.
And then when you pray, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears, and we know we hear, we know we have.
Yes, sir.
So you don't go there. Yes and no and wait.
Yes.
You already have it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, you've heard of the conflict of Daniel, right?
Yes.
In the book of Daniel, Daniel is interceding, asking, or petitioning God for understanding regarding the scripture. Anybody ever read that?
Yes.
All right. So Satan does not want this knowledge released to Daniel, and high powers of darkness seek to stop him receiving the answer to his prayer.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Sam Satan.
Yeah.
Now we know after 21 days, Daniel finally received the answer to his prayer and also gained understanding of why the answer took so long to come through. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. And I think this is where the anointing, revelation, and I'm going to use the term again now because I believe I got enough understanding about the unlocking breakthrough. See, I take things in and out of me. I just do what I want to do. Yeah, yeah. But I want to take that out long enough so them get an idea about unlocking things, not just breakthrough. But now you're not going to get the breakthrough you should. If you don't really understand, because one of the fortes of ministry is knowing how to pray above Satan's power.
Yes,
sir. Or how to settle the case before you go into combat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Stick with me now. I talked to you about the court room operating in the courts of heaven. Yes. You'll see the difference in a few moments. Now, in Daniel 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. Yeah. And then he told him what was happening. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall be for thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Now watch what I said. Daniel prayer class engaged God, but also engaged the devil and his forces. Yes. Yes, sir. And that's why people are not getting the answer, you see. So they heard it, so they resisted.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now remember I told you get your verdict.
Yes, sir.
Once you got once you get your verdict, you got it made.
Yes, sir.
So prayer, and you see, real spiritual folk won't attend to this fact. But prayer is almost always about conflict.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're not only stirring God up, you're stirring the devil up.
Yes, sir.
All right? So there has to be a way to overcome this. Daniel's words stirred up heaven, but also stirred up hell.
Yes, sir.
So I don't believe you think when you're praying, you're just talking to God.
Yeah, right.
No, the devil eavesdropping.
Yeah.
And he won't cut it off.
Yeah.
So there must be a better way in the spirit to function in our prayer life.
Yes,
so we're praying, we're entering into conflict. We are moving the powers of heaven for God's kingdom will be done. But we're also engaging the forces of darkness that are resisting that will from being done.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul talks about this conflict in many of his writings. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:26. Stick with me, Claire. Now you can come out clear.
Yes, sir.
Now you can come out clear. A lot of praying and very few answers. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. So here Paul said, huh? See, Paul speak of one who beat the air, but doesn't land the blows.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, see, you can go through something, but you're not producing nothing.
Right.
It has the potentials, but if you don't know how to function in it right, Satan make you think it doesn't work like it should work.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Because you know if praying would change things, it'd be changed.
Yes, sir.
We got some people praying.
Yes, sir.
But we should be getting more effect in our prayer. And so there are some defective ways to pray. We need to change that.
Yes,
sir. All right. Paul said he doesn't run with uncertainty. See, prayers have to be certain.
Yes, sir.
And there's a way for your prayer to be certain.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes,
We participate in spiritual activity wondering if any of it is doing anything in the unseen realm. And this is what many Christians are experiencing. They're praying and they're wondering.
Yeah.
Because they've been praying about that so long and it hadn't manifest. So for lack of a better word, some Christians just routinely pray.
Yes,
it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But they're not excited about their prayer life, because you can't be excited about prayer unless it's manifested.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
If we constantly get an unanswered prayer, we must firstly rightly discern where the conflict is in which we find ourselves. Now listen to the next statement. Most teachers on prayer, what'd I say? And spiritual warfare teach that we are on the battlefield. Okay, yeah, get that. If you don't write nothing, but write on your note on the battlefield, because it's going to come real vivid to you after a while. We got to find out what this conflict is, why we are saying that God is going to answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's what you're going to find out in these teachings. That initially, our prayers are in the courtroom of heaven. Not on the battlefield.
Yes,
if you don't know about the courtroom of heaven, what's happening in the courtroom of heaven, you're going to constantly be on the battlefield with the resistance of Satan.
Yes.
And you have to fight, 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 fight. If you leave with a verdict and a judgment,
yes. Yes, sir.
You get that out of the court of heaven before you go on the battlefield, you go out there and tell things what they're going to do. All right, the courtroom of heaven, right?
Yes,
I told you about the throne of grace, right?
Yes,
all right, now watch this statement. We need to learn how to operate there. Where? In the court of heaven, right?
Yes,
if we are going to get answers, release, and unlock. Answers, release, and unlock.
Yes,
you got, what? Listen, you got a resistor there.
Yeah.
But what you're going to do is, you're going to overpower the resistor with the verdict before you pray.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Gotcha.
You listen?
Yes, sir.
The protocol of a battlefield will not work in a courtroom. The protocol of a courtroom will not work on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
It's two different arenas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All we have mostly learned how to pray is on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And as ministers of the gospel, you must have divine assurance that what you're believing for has already manifested.
Yes, sir.
So here we're saying, class, we must discover where we are in prayer if we're going to be effective.
Yeah.
Listen, when we come off the battlefield and get into the courtroom and learn to function there, verdicts will come out of the realm of God's throne that put in place the cry of our heart.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to go ahead of myself so much in Luke chapter 18, that parable of that woman with that judge. Notice, if you notice, she didn't talk to the adversary. She talked to the judge.
Yes, sir.
Now, lawyers have to learn the language. Lawyers have to learn the language in the courtroom. Lawyers go to school to learn the language in the courtroom.
Yes, sir.
And in studying this lesson, I found out that certain lawyers cannot go before the Supreme Court. They don't qualify.
Yes, sir. Wow.
They're not up enough. They're not up enough on the stuff.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm finding out that the church, somewhat in her prayer time, and this is where the foundation is laid for ministry.
Yes,
now you got to be prayed. You got to have some prayer under your belt, right?
Yes,
all right. Now, so listen to what I'm saying. Now, when we come off the battlefield and get into the courtroom and learn to function there, verdicts will come out of the realm of God's throne that puts in place the cry of our heart. Now these terms are, people have a tendency in apostolic school myself and dealing with hundreds of apostolic apostles. I think this lesson was taught to 200 apostles. Real apostles, I'm not talking about no spaghetti, I'm talking about apostles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, a term about to come out here. You got the courtroom of heaven, right? You got that term? This term, in the things of the spirit, it looks like people think it's a hit and miss juggle. You might have it, might not happen. No, anyway, that's not the way God works. Listen, so watch what they say, because there's a word here that spiritual folk don't understand. We must know how to be a part of the legal process of heaven that grants God the legal right to fulfill his passion on our behalf and in the earth. Let me get that again. Legal.
Legal.
Voiding. A legal voiding. It's not a hit and miss. Can I pray harder? Pray longer? No, it's legal. So I want to dance here. Where is the conflict? Prayer is an activity that takes place in the courtroom.
Yes, sir.
Not on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
You win your case before you go out on the battlefield. Let's see, the courtroom activity is different from a battlefield. On the battlefield, in the courtroom activity, there's no yelling, screaming, or physical wrestling in the courtroom. They'll put your tail out.
Yeah, right.
Any of y'all ever been to court?
Yes, sir.
You ain't heard nobody hollering, Judge!
Yeah.
You don't do that?
No.
No, no, no. Sometimes when they get a little way, you say, both of y'all come here.
Yeah.
The two lawyers, yeah, come here. And when he talk with them, when they get back, they're back lawyers, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you call them for contempt. Screaming and hollering. Some people think that's power.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, I get a little loud myself sometimes, but that ain't no power.
Yes,
the power have come. When you hear me holler, the power already have come.
Yeah.
I ain't hollering to try to make the power work.
Yeah.
The power's already there. This yelling and screaming, physical wrath in the courtroom, this type of behavior is completely out of order in the courtroom proceeding.
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen, children. Listen to what I'm about to say now. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Everything in a courtroom proceeding is about, number one, presenting evidence. Presenting evidence. Number two, making a request. Number three, answering accusation and other legal processes. Powerful, man.
Yes, it is.
The accuser, you see. He's the accuser. Hello. And the verdict rendered will be consistent with the petition that are being offered. And then justice will be served.
Yes, sir.
Where do you think they get the courtroom scene from? Huh? Satan is the accuser.
Yes,
way before law, natural law, got the courtroom scene, God has set it up for us.
Yes.
So I want you to hear this now. Prayer is an activity that takes place in the courtroom of heaven.
Yeah.
There are, number one, petitions. Number two, accusation. Number three, arguments. Number four, an evidence presented in the courts of heaven. Number five, just as they are in the courts on earth. How many of y'all say y'all been in a natural courtroom? All right. There are protocols in a natural courtroom.
Yes, sir.
There are spiritual protocols in the courtroom of heaven that also must be observed. Again, watch this. Keep listening to this. Through scriptures, the place of the initial conflict is in a courtroom, not on the battlefield. Other words, prayer is legal.
Yes, sir.
And there's a way to pray from the courtroom of heaven to win the battle on the battlefield before you go out there.
Yes, sir.
So the first place of intercession, what I say? Should be in the courtroom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
I gave you Hebrews 4:16, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
And here's a statement of something I just said. It is there that we must first win our verdicts before going out to win on the battlefield. Here's the problem. Most Christians believe when they pray, they're on a battlefield. Satan can't go to the throne of grace. Once you go there sometime, have some peace while you're praying.
Yes, sir.
Watch his next statement. They rush into a conflict. What's a conflict? What is a conflict? They rush into a conflict. I told you what the conflict was. What's the conflict? They rush into a conflict. In other words, when you activate your prayer, you're activating God and you're activating Satan.
Yes,
but on the other hand, they rush into a conflict without first securing a verdict from heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's, yes, sir.
That woman in the 18th chapter of Luke, I think, when she got her verdict, she didn't even talk to the adversary.
Yeah.
When she got her verdict, when the verdict has come down, when the decision is made, that's it.
Yes, sir.
So when you're reading the scripture, when you got a situation, you searching the scripture, you getting yourself up, you getting your verdict first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know sometimes the Lord said, present my word back to me.
Yes, sir.
It's a done deal. See. When you rush in a conflict with prayer on a battlefield, this is a critical mistake that has caused us to experience defeat, chaos, backlash from satanic forces, and even destruction in our lives. Just pray. Let's pray. And it's real spiritual, But yet, sometimes there's an ignorant light blinking. Y'all ain't never saw the ignorant light? I've seen it many times. I know I'm going to see it many more times. When you're operating with God, God blank an ignorant light on you. And so, yeah, I don't know what color yours is going to be. But there's an ignorant light. I just feel like talking about an ignorant light. It blank, blank, blank. It's flashing. Here's what we're doing. If we don't do it properly, we're stirring things up on a battlefield without having established a legal president to be there. It come and move off the battlefield and in the courtroom of heaven. Move off the battlefield. Go in the courtroom of heaven. Get your verdict. Legally. Turn to Revelation 19. We'll see how Jesus himself approached this in Revelation 19. Wow. Look how Jesus approached this thing. Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven open. Praying on the open heaven. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. So in that courtroom, the judge judges.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give the verdict down.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
yeah. You got your answer.
Yes, sir.
No matter what conflict come up on the battlefield, you already know.
Yes, sir.
What you're doing on the battlefield, oh my God, you're serving papers.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't come out here to battle with you and make no suggestion.
Yeah.
I already got the verdict. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Look out.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Look out, prayer life.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
This is what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
One demon said to another demon, I've been served papers. This woman know what she's doing. This woman ain't coming out here to battle me. This woman come out here and serve me a subpoena.
Yeah.
And told me this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Confusion. Frustration. Backlash. Chaotic. He said, yes, yeah, sometime. No, sometime. Wait. Because you ain't had no verdict. Couldn't it? First thing in that verse you see that the heaven is open. What that mean? That mean that there's revelation and thing that we, the heaven is open, mean that it's revelation that Satan does not have.
Right.
Well, look out. That's revelation and thing that we need to discern in the heavenly realm.
Yes,
praying without revelation. Praying without a verdict. Praying without discernment.
Uh-huh.
Just praying.
Yeah.
They say just pray.
Yeah.
Prayer and warfare should not be a shot in the dark.
Uh-huh. Come on, Apostle.
We had to pinpoint. We need to pinpoint the things that need to be dealt with. Watch what I'm saying next now. And touch them with accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get it again. Prayer and warfare should not be shot in the dark, screaming and yelling. We should be able to pinpoint the things that need to be dealt with and touch with accuracy, have a verdict, have a judgment already.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Have your answer already.
Yes,
sir. So that's where we must be able to pray within the will of God. That's 1 John 5, 14 and 15.
Yes, sir.
This is Class, this is a critical step to effective prayer. It's understanding the will of God and praying in agreement with that will.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Pinpoint. Let's pinpoint something here. Let's pinpoint from the scripture is that Jesus judge in righteousness and make wars. So you get your judgment first.
Yes, sir.
Then you make war.
Yes, sir. Wow.
Get a line up. Jesus, judge, then make war. And when the Bible speaks about judging, listen to this, class. It is speaking of a judicial activity.
Yeah.
There's a decision and a verdict being rendered concerning a situation, petition or request. Verdict, you know what verdict means, right? Huh? I wish I had a gal up here. Bam, that's it, partner. You're in a courtroom, that man wrapped the gavel and said, this is what I said, lawyer, go sit down. You say one more word, you know. Case dismissed. Case dismissed. What is over you?
Yes, sir.
You on? Case. I said, bam. Case dismissed.
Yes.
The activity is being judged, and there's a legal precedent that is being established concerning it out of the judicial activity, which is flowing from the court of heaven. Let me say it again. I want to say something right behind it. Out of the judicial activity, when I say judicial activity, I'm talking about taking the word of God and judge it first. I'm talking about being in the courtroom of heaven before you go on the battlefield. I'm talking about having a verdict. I'm talking about having a decision made already. So out of that judicial activity, what is flowing from the court of heaven, war is made. That means you already won. Huh? All right, let me keep plowing here because it's So here's some important things we must learn. To only make war based on, number one, judgment, decision, and verdicts that you got in the court of heaven that are received, number two, that are received out of the courts of heaven. Listen, class, to try to make war without a verdict and a judgment from the court of heaven, it is to suffer defeat and even satanic backlash. Because why? We don't have legal footing to be there. Or be engaged in such activity. You don't have you in the court of heaven is where you pray.
Yes, sir.
Not on the battlefield. Now you know, children, we've been praying on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
On the battlefield for the Lord.
Yes.
Lord said, you're out there for me, I'm in the courtroom.
Yes,
you should have come consult me before you got out there.
Yes.
Now you're out there crying and screaming and hollering.
Yes.
You're out there with no decision, you're out there with no verdict. You're out there, let me say it like the way, you're out there where Satan can rape you.
Yes,
sir. Wow. Yes. Create satanic delays.
Wow.
Don't take God long to answer nothing, you know. I mean, even Daniel prayed 21 days. Some of y'all been waiting on something for 21 months, 21 years. The Bible never talked about that long of a conflict. You know, I'm waiting on the Lord. You ain't waiting on the Lord. You're waiting in your ignorance of your right to have a verdict, to have a decision, to have some judicial activities. If we get legal rendering concern of situation in place, then we can march onto the battlefield and win every time. And win every time. Prayer is so powerful, but it's not made to be on the battlefield. Listen, the problem is that we've been trying to win on the battlefield, legal verdict, without legal verdict from heaven backing us up. So class, we must learn how to get these verdicts and judgment in place so answers can come to our prayer and the kingdom cause of Christ can land on earth. You get it in the courtroom. You don't get it on the battlefield. It says Jesus and the courts of heaven. Jesus set prayer in a courtroom setting. In scripture we can see reference made to warfare in the battlefield, Matthew 6 and Luke 11. But in Jesus teaching on prayer, he never placed prayer on the battlefield. He spoke of prayer, watch this, as flowing from the relationship to a father. And here we go. I want you to turn to Luke 18 now. And also place prayer in a courtroom or judicial setting. So here in Luke 18, Jesus declared that when we pray, we are entering a courtroom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're praying for a verdict.
Yes, sir.
We ain't got time to be fighting Satan. We're praying for a verdict. Man, this will change your prayer life. You understand? You understand me? See, that's why in this school, you know, I study a lot. I just bring stuff home, put you on a cutting edge. If you sit and let the Holy Spirit minister to you about this, your prayer life change. See? There's a woman here. In the 18th chapter of Luke, she goes. Jesus began this chapter, and the wording that I have here said, God advantage is his own. And he said he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to fence. And there was a city and a judge, Luke 18, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, advantage me of my adversary. Now, one thing was emphasized, she didn't talk to her adversary.
Yes, sir.
She didn't go on the battlefield and say, can we make get this straight? And he would not for a while, but after what he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, watch it now, watch his eighth voice.
Yes,
that he will do what?
Avenge.
How soon? Speedily. I'm going to lie in that word. Speedily. All your lingering prayer should change tonight. Speedily.
Speedily.
story is told of this father with a depressed child. He had married a girl, and they were in ministry, and then the girl decided she didn't want to be in ministry. They had a baby, so she divorced him and took the baby. His son fell into depression. The father prayed for the son 2 years. What the son would do is go to a 3-11 shift at work, and he was so depressed, he'd come and play video all night. Did that for 2 years. The father prayed, screamed, did everything he could to get the boy set free. Once he found out about this courtroom deal and found out there's another way to do it, in 2.5 weeks, the boy was set free. Actually, to do it, it took him 20 minutes. So if you think I'm not saying nothing sitting here, you better listen.
Yes, sir.
Because it'll make things a whole lot better for
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
See. Now you get that verdict, you get that decision in the courtroom.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. I say praise God. So if this widow could get an answer and a verdict from an unjust judge through her persistent activity, how much more should we gain an answer as the elect of God before the righteous judge of all? Now watch this. You need to watch this. We must realize that a lack a result does not mean we need to put more effort into something.
All right. Wow.
That's the hand Satan fanned with.
Yes, sir.
You listening? But we need to learn secrets, because the revelation of secrets produce fruit. Yes, this is what Jesus was doing in this parable. This parable we read, he was unlocking a secret that prayer is an activity in a courtroom. Get your verdict. When the widow wanted justice, what she did? She went to the courtroom and not the battlefield. Got it?
Yes, sir.
She realized she didn't need to march on the battlefield and yell at her adversary. She simply needed a verdict from the court.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the courts of heaven now. Listen. For a long time, I didn't fully understand this parable. In fact, this widow didn't even address her adversary. The parable never mentioned her even speaking to him. She spoke only to the judge.
Yeah.
Judge finally gave in and granted her request. She just kept on. She kept on. But she received a just verdict in her situation. She understood, listen, she understood that if the judge rendered a legal verdict, any power of the adversary was demolished and she won. Get your buddy. Come off the battlefield. Go back into the courtroom. Get your buddy. This is for us as well. The adversary in the spirit realm that is resisting God's kingdom purpose for us will bow the knee to verdicts from the court of heaven. Wow, man. He bowed to his knees. Oh my goodness. All we need, what I said, is a legal precedent based on a verdict from heaven, and the fight is over.
Wow.
Watch what happened now, Mary. We then simply put in play the verdict that have been set down. So we must learn how to navigate the courts of heaven. When we do, it will silence the adversary. You notice the adversary didn't say nothing to the woman either. She had a judgment 2,000 years ago. I said 2,000 years ago. We won the battle. Yeah, we're fighting as victors, not victims. Are you understanding the difference between the battlefield and the courtroom scene?
Yes, sir.
Now look at Hebrews 4:16 again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now you're in the courtroom now. You're not out there arguing with the enemy about he shouldn't do this and that. You're there talking to the Lord. You're getting your verdict.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Once you get your verdict, all you got to do the rest of the time is serve papers.
Yes, sir.
Now, remember we said that when you're on the battlefield praying, you give the enemy the right to step up with a resistance. But when revelation is functioning, resistance has no standing place.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Got it.
At that throne of grace, there is the finished work of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Satan already knows he's defeated. When you're praying, he want to know, do you know?
Yeah.
Most Christians don't know. They're still wrestling with a defeated enemy.
Yeah.
Your authority, your dominion is over Satan.
Yes,
sir. When the scripture said, whatsoever you bind on earth, that's a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. It's bound in heaven. That's a covenant contract. Whatever you loose on earth, that's a contract. Why waste time talking to the enemy? Listen, why waste time talking to him when you can tell him?
Yes, sir.
It's the end of your trip.
Yeah.
It's over. Get back in place. See. That's why you got to know the power of the blood. That's why you got to know the power of the resurrection. That's why you got to know the power of the glory of light. That's why you have to know, turn to Revelation, I think it's 1:10 or 1:8. That you have to know how to function. As a priest, you make intercession. But as a king, you make decrees.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are made kings and priests.
Yes, sir.
But it's Revelation 1:10 or 1:8. Revelation 1 what? What you see when you see it? Can you make king?
He hath made us.
What verse that is?
Six.
Read it. Go ahead and read it.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
You don't use your priesthood. You don't use your kingship.
Yeah.
The 11th chapter of John, Jesus, Lazarus had died. Jesus tarried till he had died. Why this, Claire? Yeah. So Jesus get there, and the sisters are all upset, and, you know, Jesus saying, they're talking about someday he's going to get up, you know, going to be a getting up day and all that. Jesus said, where you laid him at?
Yeah.
Now, you hear Jesus pray. Jesus said, Father, I know you always hear me. Jesus had been doing some praying already.
Yes, sir.
He had operated in his high priesthood already.
Yes, sir.
So he just said that and said, no. Then he switched into his kingship.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And then he didn't pray this time. Lazarus!
Come on, Dad.
Wow. Wow.
You got to switch to your kingship.
Yeah.
You find, as a priest, you go for a while, and finally you have to turn now and know you're in full authority.
Yeah.
And make a demand on the power of God.
Yeah.
Did he get up?
Yeah,
he got up. You read your Bible, he got up. He turned to his, see, priesthood. Priesthood, you intercede. But after interceding properly, you turn into a king. And then you decree a thing.
Yes, sir.
What is Job 22:28?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Look at it. What it said? Job 12. My goodness. Decree a thing. The light will come with it. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. All darkness has to dissipate when a king talking.
Yes, sir. Come on, apostle.
You're a priest and king.
Yeah.
He is. It's paid for already.
Yeah.
We got to stop being peasants.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're in authority.
Yes, sir.
And so when you get to 1 John 5:14-15, he said, this is the confidence we have in him. See, that's a person been in the courtroom. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears. And if we know he hears, we know, we have the petition that we desire of him. Jesus said in John 15:7, powerful voice.
Yeah.
If you abide in me,
yeah,
and my words abide in you, ask what you will. I'll see to it that you get it.
Yeah.
Powerful. Powerful. Therefore, I say unto you, what things of you desire when you pray?
Yeah.
Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Yes, sir.
Be anxious for nothing. Enter everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brother, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just. Be anxious for it. Don't be anxious. Get a verdict. Get a judgment. Get a word. Get a subpoena. Prayer really is not warfare. Prayer is war won.
Yes, sir.
A person who know how to pray, the war is over. Because everything that Jesus has done belonged to me. And when I'm moving, listen to me, when I'm moving with divine backing, I can't be stopped. The winds of heaven is behind my back. You can't stop me. You might try to bluff me, but you know and I know. You can't. Satan know, all his demon know, all his cohort know, a person who is rightly dividing the word and know who they are, he can't stop them. So it's no more. Yes, sometime. No, sometime. You know what that is? A religious excuse.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
Absolutely.
See? The man been praying 2 years and 20 minutes when he found out how to go in the courtroom and do the thing.
Won the
case. Boy, I called him and said, Daddy, I don't know what happened. 2.5 weeks ago, the depression left me. I'm ready to go back in ministry. Where all this long praying come from? Praying for weeks and tired. And just, I'm talking about just praying for the same thing over and over again. Get the verdict. Courtroom, battlefield. Most of us been on the battlefield for the Lord. Yeah, we've been on the battlefield. You know, and so what we need to do is now recognize I a lot of stuff that is coming to me apostolically, I was doing it already.
Yes, sir.
Been doing it for years. Because
yeah.
I say so much, and the Lord showed me, you know, you stay around the throne, you'll get some things.
Yes, sir.
But I don't go through this long stuff.
Yes, sir.
And more so now, because I see it vividly.
Yes, sir.
So every time I have a prayer, I'm going to get me a verdict first.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to talk to the judge first.
Yes, sir.
You follow me?
Yes.
And you need to do the same thing. And I read from Acts 5 that signs and wonders and healing and casting out devils does not come automatically. It does not come because of a title.
Yes, sir.
It comes because somebody know who they are.
Yes, sir.
And operating under that jurisdiction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to be a struggling minister, just do it the way you want to do it. But if you want the fruit from the throne of God, you have to know how to do it.
Yes,
see, we're talking about, and the church don't talk about this much, being spiritual legal. It's your legal right.
Yes, sir.
To win.
Yes, sir.
No matter what it looks like, it's your legal right to have victory.
Yes.
Because Jesus paid for it. See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's legal for you to be blessed.
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. It's legal to win.
Yes, it is.
It's legal to be full of joy.
Thank you, Lord.
It's legal to have peace that pass all understanding. It's legal. It's legal.
Yes, sir.
I mean, your economy is not run by this economy.
That's right.
The Lord has given us so much legality. He's given so much. And the Lord didn't leave nothing covered. He uncovered all for us to have the abundant life.
Yes, sir.
And abundant life is not just about money.
Yes, sir.
See, the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. Because we let him.
Yes,
some of us have abundant life because God let us.
Yes,
choose who you want to be. Satan has no choice. When you begin, we have to know where Satan tricking us at.
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. He's tricking you in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's right.
And you have to learn the value of your soul against the current of organized religion.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You didn't hear me?
Yes, sir.
Against the current of organized religion, who is not producing nothing, but yet tell you they're right. Apostolic revelation starts flowing and they start howling.
Yes, sir.
You got to decide how you want to live. You want to live religiously all your life or do you want to live in revelation?
Yes.
Religiously, wrong school.
Right.
But by revelation, you begin to receive things from God supernaturally by divine unction.
Yes.
That's what you want. Now, class, the code run of heaven. From now on, you go to the courtroom and not straight to the battlefield.
Yes,
go with a verdict. That's why God says, put me in the rumors.
Yeah.
Present my word back to me. He wants you to get, see, the verdict is in his word.
Yes,
see, and you get a word on this. The first thing we dealing with something, first thing we do, we go run and pray. Blind as a bat, just swinging, hitting everybody, even hit the person who tried to help you. Say, oh, child, I'm sorry, I thought you were one of them. You don't have no spiritual insight. People just think they can wildly pray and it just change things. No, find out, sit down, settle down, look in the word, let God talk to you. Hear a voice, the voice of God's word. If you panic, Satan's going to kill you. People who can't pray who don't have the word in them. They're just pushing all the button. Is one button that said don't touch. He pushed that anyway. Just don't have no understanding. Just out there doing things sporadically, you know. Just think I got to do something. Push the wrong button. If you push this button, it's going to kill the whole deer. You push that one. Just push it. You got to know what you're doing. You see, class, let me close with this. We have to learn spiritual things are not done sporadically. They're done. They must be done with accuracy.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Yes. So you have to line up with accuracy so you can get accurate results.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know. You're sure about it. You're not guessing. You don't need 15 people praying about it. You need to know for yourself that God loved me. God gonna do this for me. I'm his child. He told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I got that. And you move in that realm. And you know, I just reasoned it because I got me some good intercessor, but I usually when I got a problem. But one of my members, I don't call everybody. I don't call the whole church. Some of this church don't know how to pray. They're a killer person. So I call special people. I got technician now. I got special intercessors. They're going to pray right. They ain't going to pray like no fool. That's why that miracle sitting back there. We call certain people. We ain't call everybody. We call certain people and told them, and I told them what to pray. Then pray in the spirit. See, and that's why you got to set up intercessors in your church. People who got your heart. People who love you and respect you as a man or woman of God. You need to have them. Now, I got some from all our churches now because I'm an apostle. But these girls are praying, man. They're not playing. They're not playing around, you know. And when I wait, I don't give them a name. I had a lady, first time in my whole ministry. I went to see her and her foot was swollen and black. And the doctor already said, we need to cut it off. So I said, wait a little while. I told her, wait a little while. Let's pray about it more. But she started suffering so much, she got it cut off. First time it ever happened in my ministry. She got it cut off. But her husband said she was suffering so bad. And she made the decision. Well, I give my members the right to make the decision.
Yes, sir.
I work with them where they are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
She talked to me the other day. She said, I feel so much better. Even though she got it cut off, she don't get her one of them legs. But the thing was killing her. And you know, I have to use my faith, but I got to deal with their faith too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's better than dying.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so when I talk with her, she sent me a video. I talked to her, she had the nub crossed, had a leg crawled. And said, Pastor, I feel so much better. I think it was killing her. Now, yes, she cried out. Yes, she said. They say she was on a little depression. I let God down, and I let the apostle down. I said, oh, no. So then I talked to her. I said, no, you ain't letting me down. I'm with you. It's your leg. I really think, according to her level of faith, she extended her life.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now if you have seen her foot in the natural, you would have called a doctor yourself and said, "Bring the knife now. I'm gonna hold her leg." It's just nasty looking, but I wasn't afraid of it because I've seen too many things happen supernaturally. So I give a space of grace, because they're going to do what I say do.
Yes,
but then I don't know what's going on through her body.
Right.
She's falling out of bed hurting and getting shot with and stuff, and she said, no, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Yes, sir.
Do that discourage me? No.
No, sir.
You got to understand. No. You got to understand. I believe we won.
Yes. Right. Yes, sir. Always. Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And so I calmed her down. Boy, she's calm. She, when she heard my voice, said, no, baby, you didn't let me down. You did what you thought you needed to do.
Yes.
And I'm with you 100%. Let that thing be healed.
Yes,
and get you something to walk on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's the power of God. I called some of the ancestors and told them about it, you know, but I wasn't afraid, and I'm still not afraid. You know. Still not afraid. See, I've seen God raise people from the dead more than one time. So I know God has the power. Sometimes we get behind things too much and let it get too far ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then y'all need to eat right.
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
To eat right, you know. Sugar's a killer.
Yeah.
I like sugar, but sugar's a killer.
Yeah.
And he's a killer. And so you just got to do things in proportion properly. Take care of yourself. You don't do all that old crazy stuff to my Lord, have mercy. Lord, you're a good God. God said, no, stupid. You're not listening to me. You're just eating all that stuff at 12 o'clock at night, falling out of bed and calling me to my God, you're good. And now you're sick as a dog. Now you don't say, Lord, the Lord let me down. No, your hand let you down. All right, God bless you.